Welcome to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
This morning, I want your hearts to be open. Last Sunday night, we talked about similar to what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about freedom. This series is to identify actually 10 elements of distinctives about being in a C3 church. It's not about theology or our basic belief system is quite conservative. It would subscribe to what most of the Christian traditions subscribe to in our basic beliefs about Jesus Christ and resurrection, salvation, etc. So, but then the Lord definitely leads different groups in particular ways to reach the world that we're living in. And it's important for us to identify those elements of a culture, those distinctives, and to make sure that we're staying on track with that color, with that tapestry, with that flow, and that we are not trying to do everything, but we're doing those things that we really are meant to do. And so it becomes as much a process of elimination sometimes as a process of addition and development. And so the one that I'm going to talk about today that is often a word I hear in people who just joined our church is the word freedom. And that comes in a variety of shapes and forms. And I'm going to try and cover that here today. But at the end of this, I'm going to reserve at least 10 minutes where we can pray for people to experience that freedom, to be set free. And some of us are struggling with forces that stronger than us, and we find ourselves regularly defeated. And I want us to find a way into freedom, out of breaking habitual cycles and things that are defeating us and discouraging us from within, so that we start to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus has come to put in our hearts and in our lives. So before we do that, I want us to sing this beautiful song, Breathe, just to open our hearts to let the Word of God have an impact in our soul today. Let's all stand and sing this. Thank you.
Come on, let's sing this.
Oh, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence lives . This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. Come on, let's sing this out. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Spoken to me.
Thank you, Jesus. God, in this house, we thank you for the breaking of chains, the healing of hearts, the lifting of souls, fresh vision, new life, transformation, all those things that you do so effortlessly by grace, without our assistance even, Lord, the sovereign work of the great Holy Spirit, the Spirit of liberty. We thank you, Heavenly Father, here today that you'll help me articulate those things that I feel on the inside of me. So people's hearts can be free from the thorns, from the things that are growing and crusted around our spirit, decayed on the inside. I believe people can emerge from this service here today whole, strong, healed in Jesus' name, set free by the mighty power of your blood in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Touch your neighbor. Amen. And say thank you for worshiping with me today. Amen. God bless you. What a magnificent song. Thank you, guys. Can't help but say it. These guys are all graduates of our Bible college. Amen. They're just best in the world. And no doubt about it, starts 1 week time. Feels like home. The series, we're talking about freedom. You know, as we identify these various elements of our culture, the mission, the goal, the vision that has always been with us is save lost people, make disciples, and empower saints. So we're always doing things to reach out to people who've never been in church, never met the Lord, or people who need to come back. And at the end of the service, I really would love to pray with you. If you're here for the first time, or maybe you're just returning to the Lord or to our church, and right at the end of the service, I'll make a little invitation, and I'd love you to come and receive the Lord. But making disciples is through our Connect Group system. And all of our Connect Group leaders are incredible people. Last Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, one of those nights last week. Tuesday night, so exciting because we have a prayer meeting at 5:30. I can't wait for Tuesday. It's on fire up in the prayer room. Incredible. Packed out. And so many things happened in that meeting. But whatever night it was it Wednesday night? Tuesday night. It was Tuesday night. Okay, so we hung around after the prayer meeting. Had a leaders meeting. What an unbelievable meeting. Just incredible. And the strength of our leadership through the church is phenomenal. I want to give all the Connect Group leaders a big hand. Fantastic, guys. You're awesome. Make disciples. And the third thing is empower saints. Well, we do that through our colleges and our staff and our life courses. And all these areas are about not just being a hospital, but being a life development center, a place where people's potential is maximized. But I understand also that there is the need for us to break free from some things that have held us captive. And that's part of our church's culture. As we go through it, what our culture is, it's worship, which we are just, that's a very sweet spot in the life of our congregation. And if you're here and arrive early, you get the whole lot. Amen. But you know, we take people into what we hope and believe for every week. Spend a lot of time on what songs we're going to sing, who's going to sing them, what order it happens. You know, give a lot of attention to that and pray about it and talk together and get excited together with as much vision for the worship section as the preaching and everything else that we're looking to. So worship is big. Faith is big. Being a positive, courageous congregation. Prayer is big. The Word of God. We'll base it all on the Word. It's not preaching messages about topics. We want to preach the Word, and so that it has its impact. Servanthood is big in our culture. Unity, being one voice, one people, moving together, and making sure that we're all moving in not as little separate groups, but achieving one big vision. Working hard, giving, love. These are all elements of a culture. When we provide that kind of environment, that's the environment that God lives in. God is in the light. He's in Him is no darkness at all. When you're living in doubt, you're not providing an atmosphere for the presence of God. If I was to get up here every week and say, well, I don't really know if we're going to do much, or if we can do much at all, or if God's really going to help us, or God doesn't live in that zone. God lives where there's faith. That's the atmosphere. Faith comes through hearing and speaking the Word of God. And so, and then worship. If we just sing songs, you know, like, today I'm leaving all my troubles behind. You know, great song. But there's a big difference between singing and worship. Worship is an act of your spirit. It's an engagement. And one of the best ways to get it activated is to lift your hands and to just go in there. God lives in that environment. Spirit power lives in music and worship. And there's a transforming power inside of that. So when we do these things, we provide environments in which God can move and accomplish certain things. When you preach the Word, it says the Lord will be with you. Not when you preach topics, or when you preach about things or have opinions about things. It says the Lord was with them, confirming the Word with signs following. So He says, preach the Word. Paul always says that. So when I'm traveling through Scripture, I generally do it expository, in an expository manner. Just go through the passage and let the Word be what feeds people. Because it certainly isn't going to be the oratory or the skills or the communication or whatever of the person on the stage. There's tons of that. But there's one thing that can bring life. Man, I loved Ian McCormack last night. Just thousands of Scriptures coming out as he's speaking about a testimony of going into heaven and escaping hell. So, coming into this particular area of talking about freedom, God lives in freedom. Not chaos, not anarchy, but genuine, set free freedom where people have the ability to rule their own lives. And you've got to understand that God is not seeking to control you. There are some translations of the Bible that say, when it says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit, there's a couple of translations that said, be controlled by the Spirit. I've got to say, it's very rare that I get upset with a translation, but I'm upset with that one because it's wrong. God will not control you. He will give you self-control. He empowers you. The idea of that is to sort of think that God is my Lord, and when I'm filled with the Spirit, I can't do what I want to do. I'm under this manipulating power that coerces me against my will. That's what control is. But that's not what the Holy Spirit does. He actually sets you free so that you are not doing things that you are coerced to do by spiritual forces and by your own appetites and by other people and various forces in your world. And so when Jesus came, He said, I've come to set you free so that you can be making decisions all on your own that are not manipulated or coerced or feel like you're helpless in the grip of some other thing. I've seen people do crazy things and in anger, and the anger just overwhelms them and they're doing things that are way out of character. That's a more obvious one. But all of us in here have faced more secretive moments, more hidden moments where we are feeling that we haven't got any choices about what we do. We just, the habit has got us. The obsession has got us. The fixation has got us. And it's a force that seems stronger than us. Even though we make all the resolute decisions we can at the beginning of a brand new year, we say, we'll never do that again. And within a day, we're doing it. I think, how am I doing that? What's happening? I don't want to do this. I feel powerless against it. And the thing is, Jesus has a route, a pathway into complete freedom for every person on earth so that they rule in their life. They're in control. They can say, I will do this and I won't do that. And it works. And they're not overpowered by other forces. Even in a, and we live in a very spiritually infested world, if you like, where the devil is really trying to destroy what God loves. I mean, if you've ever had a big argument with somebody and you know there's something in their world that they love, like their brand new Mercedes Benz or something, you just go out and scratch the whole coin along the side. Because it's not them, you're going to hurt something they like or their children. And that's how the devil is about God, because he got thrown out of heaven and now he just hates and wants to destroy what God loves, and that's you. God is madly in love with you. But there's a fight for your soul. There's a war for the souls of people all over the world. And not just because you got born again doesn't mean the war is finished. You'll find yourself engaged in even more warfare. And if you're not having trouble, I doubt that you're really going for God. Amen. Somebody says the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in a heavenly language. It might be true, but I'd like to say that evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is trouble. It's like you suddenly become an activated God unit that destroys demons. You're like, you've landed on a planet with a super gun. Amen. You're in one of those video games. Not that I've ever played one. You know, I see them advertised. You have power once you're filled with the Holy Spirit to shake hell, to just break chains. And one of you is filled with the Holy Spirit is far more effective than a million demons or forces that all hell can bring against you. So Jesus says in John 8 verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. He's temporary. But a son does abide forever. He's permanent. Therefore, if the permanent makes you free from the temporary, you shall be free indeed. That's what he's saying there. Sin, this thing in your life, in anybody's life, is only temporary. It can be broken by something more permanent, something eternally permanent. And once you're set free by that permanent person, Jesus, you are permanently set free. Now, before I go to that, though, I want to talk about something that we have talked about in two previous series, Momentum and the Ripple Effect. And I mentioned the idea that you and I must commit to habits in our lives that build boundaries in our world. We got this new dog, and look, I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell story after story mercilessly about this dog because he's such good sermon material. Amen. And I'm trying to teach him boundaries, invisible boundaries. So, and this is taking longer. The trainer said the three things that take the longest: boundaries, recall, and some other thing. Amen. Memory, that's right. And all right. So at the front door, the dog just wants to go bang, wants to go out. So you stand at the front door, he comes running for you to go outside, throw him back. throw him back.
Amen.
No, we haven't done that. Just back. No, no boundary. I want him to get to the point where gets there. There's nothing there, but he thinks, I can't go any further. The only way that becomes a reality is not by doing it once, but by training. And you and I, forgive me for the comparison, you are at a higher level than a dog. I accept that. But you can be trained. You can be trained so that you've got automatic responses going on in your life. So that you're not having to make decisions all the time about what to do in any given moment. Because you've just got solid, invisible boundaries. You don't do that. Because every time you went to do it, you decided not to do it. The give up smoking crowd say every time you use your will, it's like a muscle, it grows stronger. And that's the truth. Every time you consent to God, submit to God, and resist that thing, you will put a boundary there. Now, in today's world, this is extremely important. Because once upon a time, the boundaries were laid down by governments and laws and public opinion. Just said you don't do this and you don't go there. But now you've got a computer, and you can be completely unaccountable, and you can go anywhere you like. And so you'll find yourself, and many people are, hooked. Gambling and porn on the internet are the two highest uses of the internet. And in the process of that thing being hooked, people get destroyed. Now, your spirit is tough. It's strong. It's like tooth enamel. You've got a spirit there that's, you know, like kids can crunch things. It's got motivation in it. It's got consciousness of God in it. It is strong. However, you leave some sweet stuff in your tooth and you don't cleanse it, after a while, decay. And doesn't matter what you eat or when you breathe, pain. And you got people all around the world, it doesn't matter what they do, they're sensitive. Just the slightest little cool breeze of a relational thing, and it takes off because there's pain on the inside, there's decay. Now, the reason I got them to play that song is I thought that's about the best anesthetic I can think of for the dentist, Phil Pringle, to come in with his drill. And I'm putting this thing in your mouth to suck out the thing so you can't reply to me while I'm talking to you. Amen. As most dentists think you have an ability to talk with that thing. How you doing? So the need for you to build a wall that's been broken down or that's got a hole in it of decay becomes really important. Many people's problems begin as a weakness of character. Rather than having character strength in our world, which comes from disciplines and rules and just living right like that and having integrity. Once you create a hole in that wall, you've given consent to a force to get a hold of you and manipulate your world. The reason I'm talking about this is because in about 2 minutes, three minutes, I'm going to invite you, people, to come and receive prayer, and freedom's going to come into your life. You're going to get set free without any shadow of a doubt. This is extremely powerful moment, but I don't want the hole to stay. I don't want just to think that, oh, I got set free, and then you go out and get tempted again and find yourself back in the old decay position, broken down wall. And so I want to quickly just show you from James 1 verse 14. He says, like, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful action, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled. So one thing leads to another. We think we can fool with this for a little while because we're just satisfying a little temptation, a little desire, but then we find ourselves dragged in a little further. And then one thing leads to another, and finally the trap has sprung, and we find ourselves struggling in the trap, trying to get out. When we were kids, we'd go out on the farm. We had to trap possums and things and pests in this farm. But boy, you know, once that trap goes, they got no chance. And what a great thing when you can unloose, let a trap break it open, and that little creature gets set free. God is looking at a lot of us in the world today, and the trap has, it went like that. And he came to say, I'm going to set you free. I want to break open the trap, the snare of the fowler. It is called in the Bible. He has broken the snare of the fowler. He just put his heel on that trap, snapped it, and you're free. However, if we don't retrain our lives, we just go straight back to the bait in the trap and caught again. And that's exactly what the war for your soul is about. But Jesus has a way out of this. Now, number one, he says, and I'm going to skip a little of my notes here because I want to get to the road to freedom, which is begins in this. Proverbs 28 verse 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. If we're losing ground morally, losing ground in our integrity or in our spirit, you'll find you start losing in your circumstances. And you can't understand why this isn't working, why that isn't working. But once you regain traction and ground and make some choices, just a little choice, you'll be amazed at taking what 1 inch of forward motion there does for your circumstances out here. Relationships, finances, business, all kinds of areas. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but you are well equipped, like your teeth, strong enamel, to chew the good stuff and make it work. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. The first thing to deal with is the things that we've hidden away, we've covered. And when we uncover them and bring them into the light and decide to forsake them, we'll obtain mercy. Now, some people have interpreted grace as you don't have to do all that. There's no other way to do it. The blood of Jesus has no way of cleansing our soul if we do not bring it to him. We're in control. If we refuse to do that, we're going to live with guilt and condemnation and all kinds of other things. And sometimes we've been in religious settings, and that'd be one of the features of our culture that many people comment on, that they've come out of a culture of religiosity where they've been condemned and never been able to receive forgiveness because they're just feeling guilty all the time. And it's a terribly powerful manipulator in people's lives to make them feel guilty or bad about their life. So once you've confessed your sin to God, you need to then believe the scripture in 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You are forgiven the moment you confess. Now, it's hard to believe that sometimes because you keep getting the memory of guilt, and that is where the devil would love to hold on to you and keep you bound. But I'm telling you that once you have come to God and said, okay, Lord, I'm getting cleaned up here. I'm going to brush my teeth. Amen. I want to floss. I want to get right down in between the cracks. I want you to cleanse me out. And when we do that, and we decide immediately, the blood of Jesus cleanses your entire soul, and what was once black becomes whiter than snow. What was once in darkness has the bright shining light on the inside of it. The sun rises immediately in your world. And that's something you've got to take a hold of in the scripture. And then that second word, forsake, walk away from it, create new habit patterns in your life. I'd rather people say to me, I'm praying 5 minutes a day and reading the Bible for 5 minutes a day than tell me they read the Bible for an hour last month on a Tuesday. Because if you just do things when you feel like it and want to do it, you're going to create an unstable and irregular life, and you're vulnerable, an easy target. But once you've got a wall, an altar, a solid habit pattern in your life, it'll starve bad habits. One of the best ways To beat a bad habit is to start a good one. Okay, and here's the last point. Resist. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. In James 4, verse 6, he gives more grace. James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. How about that? There's no neutral ground. If you're drawing near to the devil, he's drawing near to you, and you're drawing away from God. If you reverse that and say, I'm going to start drawing near to God and resist the devil, you create a distance between you and darkness. And if you make that commitment here today, I know that you'll be on a pathway to freedom. And we can start that road here today by praying for you and believing God for a massive liberty and freedom to come into your life.
Thanks for listening to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Check out philpringle.com to follow Phil's blog and latest resources. Join us next time for more great teaching.